What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Second and goal. Robinson in! Touchdown, Washington!
We're Grant and Danny. This is the Fan, and the Commanders are going to be playing in the NFC Championship game on Sunday. This is not a drill. They're actually going to play for the right to go to the Super Bowl in Philly on Sunday, round three. They have split the first two with the Eagles. As a reminder, at 6 o'clock, we're going to talk to somebody who's done some deep digging and some journalism on the VR setup that Jaden Daniels has that has helped to make him the rookie sensation that he's been, one of the ways that he studies. At 6, we're also giving away tickets to see the Capitals on February 2nd. So if you want those tickets, you better be listening. The show's brought to you by the law firm Kondori & Murad.
We love those guys. And as Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Kondori & Murad, can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Jay, at some point during the game, as we bring on Jay Gruden, the former head coach of the then Redskins here in D.C., you tweeted something to the effect of, this quarterback is unbelievable. I don't think you were talking about Jared Goff. What play made you tweet that? Like, when was the moment where you went, oh, my God, that was stupid?
That's the whole body of work, man. It's just, it's unbelievable. He doesn't ever wilt under pressure. He always makes the right decision. He missed maybe one or two throws, but everything else he does is, like, perfect. He runs when he has to run. He throws it to the right guy, and he's accurate, and he's on time, and got hands in his face. He's got pressure coming in him, unblocked players, and he just – drops the ball where he has to drop it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to watch him.
The reason I asked is that throw to Deami Brown might be my favorite play of his season, where he doesn't have his legs.
Couldn't
into the
set
throw,
his feet right.
So he like kind of off of both flat-footed feet, like drops his arm angle down and takes a shot and just delivers a moon ball that he dropped right into his arms.
Yeah, hard to argue that one. That one was pretty good. Pretty good catch, too. The guy had his hands over his face. I don't know how he saw the dang thing. But, yeah, that was just one of many that he was unbelievable in. I mean, he made some things that were probably not so unbelievable to the naked eye, but when you're a coach and you understand free runners and people in your face and his ability to get the ball, a little simple out route to Zach Ertz is unbelievable. Get free runner, the crossing route, the Terry McLaurin on fourth down was a hell of a throw. He had a free runner on that one, too. Just the touch and the accuracy that he has. These are not easy throws when guys are running full speed away from you, and you have to throw it with people in your face. And he just makes it look so easy that, you know, not many people recognize how hard it is.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tebbert Automotive Group, Tebbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tebbert Chantilly Lincoln and Tebbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tebbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See him chop them all at Tebbert.com. Jay, you were just touching on it. The Detroit blitzed, it felt like every down or every other down or, you know, whatever. It's a huge percentage. Why is Jaden Daniels and why is this offense so effective against the blitz?
You know, they do a great job of protection, and Jaden has a good understanding who the free hitter is. He can avoid him or he can get it out before the guy gets there. Not many quarterbacks have that ability to do that. Knowledge of, protection schemes. You saw C.J. Stroud get hit unmercifully against Kansas City. He's free runners. I mean, has no idea. So, there's a protection plan that they have in place. It's very good. I know Anthony Lynn's been in the league for a long time. He does a great job as a run game coordinator there, but also with pass protections. And, you know, the center, Tyler Biadasz, he does a good job, and obviously Jaden has total control.
When Sam Cosby went out, Trent Scott came in. How challenging is that in terms of continuity? Just, you know, you're losing one of your better offensive linemen, one of your better players on the road, loud environment, et cetera. You know, what did you think of Scott, and how do you think about that going forward?
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. Obviously, the strength of the Eagles' defense is right there where the guard is. So that'll be a challenge. Hopefully, Tyler will give them some help, and they'll get two hands on them or four hands on them every time. But, yeah, it happens. You know, I'm well aware of how many times you can lose offensive guards in pro football. We lost like 30 of them 1 year. But Trent's been there for a long time. He's bounced around in different positions. He's played some tackle. He's played some guards, so he should be okay.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So let's start with defensively, the fact that they were able to generate a little more pressure than they normally had. How much of that do you think was knowing where Goff's going to be and it's easier to rush him because he's not moving around a lot? Or how much was that they might have actually figured something out here? Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler, they all kind of consistently got home, it felt like.
Yeah, the first sack fumble, Armstrong came from over the guard, which is good because that's probably Detroit's weakest link. So they put their best pass rusher over the left guard, and Fowler's been doing pretty good all year long. I think he's got double-digit sacks. So they just manufacture pressure with different people. You know, Wagner's rush from inside, Luvu's rush from outside and inside. So they have a good scheme of defense up front where they can move people around on different people and get pressured. Not any of them are spectacular rushes, but them as a whole, as a unit, they do a damn good job.
Five takeaways, four interceptions, three off Goff. Obviously, Goff also with a fumble, so four turnovers in the game. But they were plus five. I don't know that I can remember a playoff game where a team was plus five. They're plus six in two games at this point. I mean, it feels to me like maybe outside of just how good Daniels has been, that's the whole story for their postseason so far.
Yeah, it is quite amazing for a quarterback to handle the ball as much as Jaden does, running the ball. What do you have, 12 carries? And then throwing the ball at 30 dropbacks or whatever, 35 dropbacks where he doesn't turn the ball over. It's just a hell of a tribute to the kid and the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator and everybody involved in that building, offensive line. The four teams in advance, none of them had a turnover, and that's a critical part of playoff football. You know, Buffalo didn't turn the ball over, Philly didn't turn the ball over, Washington, and obviously Kansas City didn't. So moving forward, it's going to be a key component of the game come Sunday or whenever they play.
Jay, Washington ran it better than they have in nearly a couple months, that Tennessee game notwithstanding. Did they find something in the run game, or is it just, frankly, they're playing Detroit, who's so beat up?
Yeah, Detroit's pretty beat up, and they're probably the weakest front they've played in quite a while as far as stopping the run. So they had some success in the air and obviously on the ground. So that helps out a lot. That takes a lot of pressure off Jaden, and that opens up the zone reads and the quarterback design runs. And it's always good to see Brian hit some big hits in the middle because that shows dominance of your offensive line, and they like that. They play physical. They get into the game more. Helps with tempo. You can jump into no huddle when you hit a big run, and keeps the defense off balance, and that's what they did.
Jay, this run, it just doesn't happen. I mean, I can't think of anything this. What's the comp for you? Or there have been worse to first. We're in a sport where you could go from five wins to 11 and make the playoffs or whatever. But to go from picking second because you're terrible, not because you traded up, to potentially the Super Bowl, I mean, that's unheard of. Can you think of anything like that?
No. Hell no. Nobody ever would have picked Washington to be in an NFC Championship game before the season. You'd be an idiot. You know, I mean, come on. I think it's the greatest rookie season we've ever seen. You know, maybe Magic Johnson with the Lakers. I don't know. But, yeah, this is the greatest rookie season of anybody I've ever seen. It's the toughest position in sports to play. I mean, you think of all the great quarterbacks. Tom Brady, he struggled as he wasn't great as a rookie, and Peyton Manning wasn't great as a rookie. This guy has been unbelievable, and he's not just doing it with zone reads and running. He's doing it with through the air and anticipation and reading blitzes and critical situations, third, fourth down, red zone, game on the line, playoffs. I mean, he's doing it all, and you'll never see that again. I don't think we'll see that again.
Jay Gruden with us here.
CJ had a pretty good year last year, you know, but, you know, not to this extent.
Yeah, and I think he said yesterday, yeah, Jaden Daniels has the best rookie season of all time, so he willingly handed the mantle over. Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. You mentioned the fourth downs. If it was just, you know, a tush-push or a brotherly shove or whatever like Philadelphia does, or, you know, I don't know, one zone read or something like that, they get the fourth down a different way every play, it seems like. You mentioned that McLaurin crosser. Sometimes it's design this or that. It's like, they're just running their normal playbook. They're running their normal stuff. Just go into that, and, you know, what does that mean for an offense?
Yeah, I got to see Cliff Kingsbury's fourth down list. He must have 40 plays on that son of a gun. I mean, it's unbelievable. The touchdown is Zach Ertz's fourth down, I believe, and there's like three crossing routes, and the only guy open, remotely open, was Zach Ertz, and he just happened to find him. It's crazy. So, yeah, I don't know how they decide how many plays they're going to carry on fourth down because they're in a red zone, they're out in the field. They're fourth and three. They're fourth and five. So, yeah, he does an unbelievable job, Cliff, of coming up with these plays and formations, and the team does a great job of executing. And Dan Quinn has a hell of a lot of trust in his unit, which is pretty awesome to see. It's another part of the game that Washington has done this year that has been pretty much unheard of, converting 80-something percent of fourth downs.
81%, 27 of 33. And it goes without saying, particularly in read option, Jaden Daniels with his legs can make you right on a lot of those, right? Still, we're seeing a trend around the league. Dan Campbell, he's got the antithesis of a mobile quarterback, and they go for more fourth downs the last couple years than anybody. I never thought that you weren't gutsy on fourth down, but you never got into a groove like this where it was like, if we're in plus territory and it's fourth and three or less, we're going for it. In this new era, like watching the way that you do, if you had another crack at it as a coach, would you go for a lot more fourth downs in plus territory? Because I've always wondered why more teams don't do it. It's just insane to me. Even fourth and a foot or so in minus territory, to me, it should be a no-brainer. And we're trending that way in the league, it seems like.
Yeah, I just felt like you get down in there, especially early in a game, if you go for a fourth down and don't get it, it's like a kick in the, you know what, because you do all that work to get down there. You just want to get something to show for your success of getting down there. And you risk a lot of not only momentum, but, I don't know, confidence in your team a little bit if you don't get it. You know, I was more scared of not getting it than being aggressive. Hey, we're going to get it. I wish I would have. Yeah, I for sure wish I would have gone for more, because obviously the proof is in the pudding what Washington's done. Now you got to have a quarterback that can execute like Jaden Daniels, you know, and Kirk was pretty good and Alex was pretty good when we had him when he was healthy. I'm sure they would have been fine. But, yeah, it's just a different train of thought nowadays.
But do you think it's going to keep trending this way? And, like, what is the line where you would say, okay, let's settle down? Like, I mean, it seems to me, like, I don't know about you, like, at the 40, minus 40, when you're 10 yards from midfield, teams now start thinking about those short yardage situations.
I think Kansas City, the way they play defense, will play it more close to the vest and kick more field goals because they win a lot of close games, and 3 points are critical for those guys. And if they get a lead, it's hard to catch them because their defense is pretty good. A lot depends on your defense, how good your defense is, and what offense you're playing. If you're playing a high-powered offense like Detroit, 3 points may not be good enough. You have to get six every now and then. So a lot of factors into going forward on fourth down, quarterback play, line play, who you're playing against, what your defense is like, what their defense is like, et cetera, et cetera.
Jay, at what point during this game for Washington against Detroit did you go from maybe they can win this thing to, dude, I think they're going to win this thing? What, like, when was that conversion for you?
Probably, you know, the second quarter barrage. You know, they scored a touchdown, then they got the pick six, or they scored two touchdowns, they had 28 points in the second quarter. I think right around halftime, I said, not only can they win this thing, I said, these guys might win the whole damn thing. Mm. I mean, this is insane. I mean, these guys are playing fast, they're playing physical, they're creating turnovers, their quarterback's not wavering, they're blitzing the hell out of him, he's not even blinking. So, yeah, I think right around that 28, right around halftime, I was like, this team has a chance to put a ring on their finger.
It's hilarious. Oh my God. I mean, it's just,
I mean, it's insane. You can't make this stuff up.
No, it's so funny, actually. Like, you laughing after you said it is what I've been doing every time.
For days, Jay, that's all we've been doing.
For a week, I'm like, they're going to go to the Super Bowl, and I just start giggling. It's so dumb.
It's crazy, man. It's just a hell of a thing for these coaches and Jaden and the rest of the team. It's fun to watch.
The Eagles are next up in Philly. Obviously, like any other game you play here, Buffalo or Kansas City, ultimately, if you're to beat the Eagles, this one's going to be an uphill battle, and they're going to be an underdog. That said, they just beat them. They have hung with them twice now. Biggest concern about this game?
Well, the obvious is Saquon and Jalen's ability to run. That's the biggest concern. And then defensively, that front, the big guys up the middle, stop and run and getting pressure up the middle on Jaden is the biggest concern. Quinyon Mitchell being out will be a big plus because he's starting to play pretty good. If he's out, I don't know if he's out or not. But other than that, man, I think Washington's going to go out and play their game and do what they do, go for it on fourth down, make some key plays, and hopefully they can force Jalen to throw the ball because they're having trouble completing a forward pass.
How much of the recent matchup plays in, or is it just totally irrelevant?
I think a lot plays in, really. Matchups play a big part. offensive, defensive line play, wide receiver versus corner play, tight ends versus safeties, all that stuff. It all plays in scheme, how we're going to stop Saquon in the outside zones and the mid zones and the shotgun run and under center or whatever it might be. There's a lot of information you can gather from those two games. Obviously, it'll be quite different. The environment will be quite different, but there is a lot of personal information, head-to-head information that you can gather.
So with Cosme out, I feel like you had centers and guards missing almost every week for a couple of years in a row. How do you go about blocking up Jalen Carter and those big guys or trying to mask that deficiency?
Yeah, I think Tyler Biadasz has to do a good job of making sure he tries to help the Trent out as much as he can. If everything's equal, we got to make sure we get two hands on Jalen Carter. And I don't know if it's better to run away from him or run right at him and get double teams right at him. So if you run away from him, you're going to have a single cutoff on him. If you run at him, you have double teams on him. So it's pick your poison against that guy. He's a monster. But I think getting out on perimeter with some of the screens that they run will be very effective. Like the one that Terry McLaurin and the bubble screens, they run quite a bit of. I think you'll see a lot of that run alerts. But you gotta just go out and play him. I mean, he's a hell of a player, but scared money don't make no money.
Is Jalen Hurts as bad right now as it seems like he is, and why are they so broken throwing the football?
I don't know. I don't know if it's confidence or he's just not seeing the field very well. They're not giving him a whole lot of opportunities to let it rip down the field with Saquon and the effectiveness they have in the running game. And sometimes as a play caller, you're like, well, might as well just give it back to Saquon. Why are we even trying to throw it? Because he's so good and been so effective. So that's part of it. But the other part of it, I just don't think Hurts is seeing the field very well right now. He doesn't have a lot of confidence. If the first read's not there, he doesn't have confidence in going to the second one or third one. He's just one and done, in my opinion.
What would the message be for you this week to the guys? I mean, you know, this for a lot of the veterans who've been here before, they've been to the top, like the Bobby Wagners of the world, know how to act and know what to do. But for a lot of these guys that have been here, they haven't seen a lot of success in their whole careers, basically. How would you kind of keep them on message and, you know, what would you be saying to guys?
Yeah, I think you rely on your veterans like Bobby Wagner, who's been there and done that. He's a strong influence in that locker room, and he's going to be the one that's going to really calm the nerves of everybody and make sure everybody does what they're supposed to do during the week. That's the most important thing, is to make sure we take care of the minor details throughout the week of the game plan and really focus on what we're supposed to do and who we're playing against. And I think that'll be an easy task for these guys. These guys have been well-prepared and well-coached every game that they've played, and Bobby Wagner is a big part of that. He doesn't take anything other than people's best.
Jay, the Commanders are in the NFC Championship game.
I wish I would have bet that before the dang season started.
Yeah, you and me both.
Same here.
You'd have done all right. You could treat Danny and I to a nice steak dinner.
Steak dinner. You got it.
Well, I just meant if you hit your bet. But
no, he said no. Yes. He said yes.
If you want to do it anyway.
I'll take you guys out for a steak when I get back. When I get back and the sun comes out over there, I'll come back and take you guys to DC Prime up there.
All right. We'll do it. Let's
I'll eat
go.
That steak. I'm good at that.
Yeah, mashed potatoes. You should see Danny cut. He cuts like
a meticulous,
like
Jack.
Violin or something. It's like 14 saws through the steak.
That does not surprise me one bit.
Although Jay will love how I do it too.
Yeah. So what Grant does is you ever seen somebody in like a slasher movie? They hold the knife. That's how he holds his fork, right? So he stabs with the fork and does like a one saw with the knife and eats. By the time you've like got your napkin on your lap, he's 80% the way done with the steak and then is like asking people personal questions.
I'm surprised he uses a knife at all. I figure you just pick it up and eat it.
I should.
He's one step shy of that.
I'm on my way.
Gnawing at it like a wolf.
That and some mashed potatoes. That's the name of the game. Jay, hopefully we're talking about the Commanders in the Super Bowl.
Going to the Super Bowl, you know.
Next week. Enjoy the games this weekend.
I will do it. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you, buddy. There's Jay Gruden, former head coach here in D.C. I love that. He had the same thing.
Yeah, just chuckling like we are.
Same response I did. He's like, they might go to the Super Bowl, and just starts laughing.
Yes.
It's a giddy time around these parts. People, the Commanders are playing in an NFC Championship game.
What?
It's surreal. I need to think of another word other than dumb, because dumb doesn't really feel positive.
I know.
Enough.
I need new words. I use words like insane all the time. Like, that's what this is. But it's beyond that.
I got a little fun exercise for us next.
Okay.
We'll get to that on G&D here on The Fan.